You know, I have said probably every week that everyone should have an estate plan. Everyone should have a will or a trust and plan for the future and plan for a possible disability or death. And it's a very important part of what you should do to get your affairs in order. And I think that January is a good time to kind of take those resolutions seriously and maybe make put that on your list of things to do. So I want to talk to one of my favorite estate planning lawyers in the city of Chicago, Christian Monelli. He's been a lawyer for 23 years. He's been doing this kind of work, estate planning, guardianship, tax advice, business formation. As of this past year, Christian has come to work in my firm. He's no stranger to our show and he's joined us before. Hi, Christian. Happy New Year. Welcome.
Oh, well, Eric, thank you, Karen. Happy New Year to you, too. Glad to be here.
You know, I always have to say the list of people who died without having an estate plan. Prince, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Jimi Hendrix, Pablo Picasso, Michael Jackson, Sonny Bono, Howard Hughes, all died without an estate plan. Shame on them. And tell me why, if you will, Christian, why is it that people don't make the plan to do it?
Well, I think that a lot of people don't like thinking about planning for when they're not around. But at the same time, after people get their estate plan done, they tend to feel a huge relief once the documents are signed and the assets are organized. It's like any sort of task that, you know, you think is going to be unpleasant. All you have to do is take that first step and, you know, it's pretty painless to do an estate plan.
And I know so many lawyers that don't have estate plans, but it's absolutely the truth. And I've heard many clients say, "Why did I wait so long? It was on my back of my mind, and now I feel so much better about making these plans and discussing these things and knowing my options and being able to make educated decisions." So I think that it's a really important point. I'm going to give out my phone number because I'm sure there are people who have questions about estate planning. 312-981-7200. And Christian will try to give his best answer. And I just wanted to also say today that we're talking generally. There are so many nuances to estate planning. It all depends on your assets. It depends on many things. It depends on what state you live in. So what the stuff that we're talking about today is really just generalities of some concepts that you should be aware of. So let's talk about a will and a trust. People ask me all the time, do I need a will or do I need a trust or do I need both? And if you could describe the differences and how those tools are used.
Sure. A will, as most people know, is a document in which you indicate how you want your assets to pass on your death. And when you prepare a will, it's good to have an idea of what assets you have, how they're titled, which assets actually pass underneath the will, and some assets, you know, do not. A trust has a similar function to a will in that it can tell or it can direct how your assets are going to pass on death. But the key difference between the trust and the will is a will only takes effect on your death. Nothing that's said in the will makes any difference before you die. The trust, on the other hand, takes effect immediately. I like to tell people to think of a trust like a box that you can place assets inside. And so you can put your house in the trust, you can put a bank account, an investment account in the trust, and those assets then will pass to whoever you name as beneficiaries in the trust document. And it also, the trust governs how those assets are held onto and managed while you're alive. And so the primary purpose, or one of the primary purposes of a trust, is not only to organize your assets, but also to avoid something known as probate. Now, probate isn't the end of the world, but probate is the process that the court requires us to go through in order to get the asset, get control of the assets of a person who has died. And the rules are set up, over centuries have been developed to try to make it as good and fair a process as possible. However, you need to have an attorney to navigate it, and it's a sizable cost that if you can avoid it, you certainly should try to.
You know, I hear a lot of people, Christian, and I'm sure you do, say, you know, I don't have that much. I have a house, I have some accounts, I have life insurance, I have just, you know, a few personal items that have some value that I want my children to have. Can you just, and I don't mean to be doom mm-hmm. and gloom, but can you give our listeners some examples or an example of how a person who didn't have an estate plan left what turned out to be a mess after the person died?
Sure. Unfortunately, I've got a lot of examples there. What happens if you don't have a will is that your assets pass according to the Illinois law of descent and distribution, and it's sort of like a flow chart. If you're married, then and you have no children, everything to your spouse, for example. If you're married and you do have children, 50% to the spouse, 50% to the kids, and it takes into account lots of different, you know, family situations when you die. So I have a lot of unfortunate examples from people that have second marriages. Let's say you were married, you had children in a first marriage, then you get married, you've got a new spouse, and let's say that you had told your kids your whole life you were going to be leaving them a certain, you know, your lake house, or you were going to leave them your, you know, classic car or whatever, and if you leave it up to the default, to the law of descent distribution, everything gets divided 50-50 between the new spouse and the kids. So second marriages are primarily a real danger. You definitely want to make sure you have a will in an instance like that. And most people aren't aware how their assets are going to pass. If you don't have any kids, for example, and if you're not married, how does it go? You'd be surprised to learn that half of it would go to your parents and half of it would go to your brothers and sisters.
And you know, so many people say, well, if I die, everybody knows what I wanted, and they'll just do that. But, and I hate to say this about human beings, but when there's money and when there are jealousies and envies and all those things that families have, and we all have them, it doesn't always work out that way, does it, Christian? I mean, you know, if you say, yeah, my dad promised me that classic car, and the new wife says, you know what, it wasn't in the will, there was no will, I get to keep it, you know, you're out of luck. And that causes a rift that will never be repaired, right?
It's such a great point. You're right. And it goes beyond the, you know, the actual thing.
Sure.
What somebody says before they die, if it's not in the document, it's not going to be honored. And that causes some extremely hard feelings, especially since, especially in a situation with a second spouse. But it that brings to mind of a situation I had where I had a client who was in her 40s, and she just learned that she had an aggressive form of abdominal cancer, and she had just gotten married, and her husband was someone relatively new who lived out of state. Her parents were understandably worried about didn't know her husband. And she left things in her will a certain way, a certain percentage to her husband and a certain percentage to her parents and brothers and sisters. And if she would not have done that, now nobody was happy with how she did it. The husband thought he should have gotten more. The mom and dad thought perhaps they should have gotten more. But at least everybody knew. This is
right.
How she wanted it.
Understood. Let's take a break. 312-981-7200. We're going to take your calls and your questions about any legal topic, but especially estate planning. We're here on the Team Hochberg phone line with Christian Minnalli, and you're listening to WGN. We're talking estate planning. We're here with Christian Minnalli, who's a fabulous estate planning lawyer who works with me in my law firm and serves his clients all over the Chicagoland area. And one of the things, Christian, welcome back to the show. One of the things that I want to talk to you about is a lot of people are saying COVID's going on. You know, I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to get lawyer stuff going. Can you do it now? Is it possible to do some of this stuff remotely?
Absolutely. Even before COVID, I would conduct a lot of estate planning meetings over the phone, and we can do that through Zoom and other, you know, web apps. And even documents can be signed remotely these days. The state of Illinois kicked into gear getting provisions into place that allow for wills and trusts and other documents to be signed and things to be notarized remotely. So that's certainly not a problem these days.
So what, before I go to the calls, because we've got a bunch of people who have some questions, but just generally speaking, what does a person have to do before seeing a lawyer? What are some of the things to gather as far as documents and information to use in consulting with the lawyer about an estate plan?
Well, you know, you almost don't need to get anything together if you're going to contact an estate planning attorney that's any good at all, because one of the first things the estate planning attorney is going to do is offer to provide you with an estate planning questionnaire, which now some people hate filling those things out. And if that's the case, I typically tell people, well, then I'll prepare the questionnaire for you and I'll ask you the questions on the questionnaire as we go, and if there's any information you don't have handy, you can always circle back and get it. Because I feel if people think they have to do something to prepare beforehand, they tend to put it off.
Right.
But that being said, to answer your question, having an idea, what's fundamentally important is to know what accounts you've got, whether they're held individually or jointly with your spouse or with your kids or your grandkids, for example. The attorney will want to know what real estate you have, roughly what the value is. Ballpark figures are always fine. And then how it's held. Is it jointly with your spouse? Is it in your name alone? That sort of thing. And then the other thing that we do is we look at how much you have in life insurance and retirement plans and who the beneficiaries are. And, you know, eventually we'll want the account numbers for different things so that we can, you know, potentially move things around if need be. But that's the information that you need. And I guess the only other important thing besides knowing who you want to leave things to is to think about who you would want as your executor or the agent under your powers of attorney or a trustee of a trust.
And let's focus on that in a little bit, but I want to get to the phones because I think that's a big question for a lot of people. Let's go to Mary. Welcome to the Team Hochberg phone line. Hi, Mary. You have a question for Christian about estate planning.
Yes, I do. In the process of setting up my trust, my husband passed away 2 years ago, and I am setting up my trust now. And I've been receiving some insurance checks made out to his estate, and I can't cash them because I have a checking account made out to a trust, but not the estate. How do I go about that?
That's a good question, Christian. What do you say to that?
So probate is the process where you could get the authority from a court to open an account in the name of his estate. As I indicated earlier in the segment, that unfortunately that costs some money and it's a little bit time consuming. The good news is there's an alternative to probate when the person who died has assets that are under $100,000. Now, when I say the assets have to be under $100,000, it's only the assets that are in that person's name alone, does not include any assets he had in his trust, and does not include any assets that he held jointly with you. So, in this case, it sounds like he didn't really have any assets in his name alone, but you've got this insurance money that's coming to his estate. And so, as long as the proceeds of the insurance policies is under $100,000, we can use something called a small estate affidavit to get control of that money.
Is it under $100,000, Mary? Is that something that?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so and if you're putting your trust together now and you've got a lawyer, you might want to address that with your lawyer, or if you haven't retained a lawyer, maybe Christian can give you some more details about how that small estate affidavit works. Is that fair?
Okay. That sounds good.
All right, Mary.
But I have another question quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I am also setting up a new trust for my handicapped son, and they suggest that I use a guardian ad litem besides the person that I have appointed to take care of his money.
Okay, Mary, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break. I'm going to put you on hold. And when we come back, we're going to answer that question a little more fully, okay? 981-7200 is our number. We're taking calls about estate planning and about any other legal question you might have. This is WGN. We're talking wills and trusts and estate planning. If you have questions, now's the time. 312-981-7200. Christian Minnalli is one of Chicago's finest estate planning lawyers. And we were talking to Mary and Denise. I'm going to get to you in a minute. Dave, you're a third up there. Let's go to Mary. Mary had a question about a handicapped daughter. Mary, could you restate your question again for Christian?
I have a trust that I am setting up for my handicapped child. And they suggested to also add on a guardian ad litem beside the person that I have picked out to handle his accounts.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Is that necessary?
Okay, good. All right, Christian, go ahead.
Well, Mary, are the funds that you're putting into this trust already the handicapped child's assets, or are they your own personal assets?
These will be my own personal assets.
Okay. So I'm a little confused only because typically the court wants a guardian ad litem involved in a guardianship case in order to determine what's in the best interest for the handicapped person. You already have a guardian. It sounds like you're already the guardian for your daughter. So I guess I have to admit, I don't see why you need a guardian ad litem involved unless it was that some of your child's own assets were going to be placed in this trust. In that instance, I could see why the judge would want a guardian ad litem to take a look at the situation. But if it's simply your own assets that you're going to be leaving for your child, I don't see that you need a guardian ad litem. However, I strongly recommend that you have an attorney assist you with this before you do it, because this is a pretty technical area of law that you're going to want to have an attorney assisting you.
Okay. You know what, Mary? Yeah. If you have any other questions, let's have you contact Christian, and I'm going to drop this call, and I'm going to give out my number at the office for Christian, 312-332-7800. You can always email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com, and I'm happy to forward it off to Christian. Let's go to Denise. Hi, Denise. Well, welcome to WGN. You have a question about estate planning. Good. How are you?
Good. Never got through. My major question was, you were talking about probate and you were talking about will and trust. So when does probate occur?
So probate is the process. It only occurs after death. And so you only run into a situation where you try to open a probate estate when you're trying to get control of assets of a person that has died.
Uh-huh. Does having a trust avoid a probate? I mean, there's two different vehicles, a will or a trust. I mean, how do you determine which one you should have?
That's a good question.
Absolutely. So, all right. So probate, a lot of people have questions about probate. As I said, probate is the court process where a judge looks at a person's will, or if they don't have a will, looks at other documents the attorney gives them in order to open an estate and get somebody appointed as either the executor, which is the name of the person when there's a will, or the administrator, which is the name of the person in charge when there is no will, appointed. And then that executor or administrator, with the court's authority, gathers up the assets of the person that died, pays off their debts and expenses, prepares an accounting, shows the beneficiaries or the heirs what their share is, gets receipts and approvals, and closes the estate. And you need an attorney in order to go through that process. Only assets that go through that process are the assets you own at the time of your death. So let's say I own my house in my own name, and I have a bank account that's joint with my son, and I have a life insurance policy that's payable to my three children. So in that instance, if I were to die without a will or anything else, the joint account would automatically go to my son. The life insurance policy would go to the three children that were named as beneficiaries, and the house would have to go through the probate process in order to go to my heirs. And because I didn't have a will, it's automatically going to go a certain way, which would be directly to the three kids if I didn't have a spouse. So the way that a trust avoids probate is it's sort of like a will substitute in that it provides how you want your assets to go on your death. However, it exists the minute that you create it and you put assets inside it like it's a box while you're alive. So if I create the trust and I put my house in the trust in that previous example, and I move the joint account into the trust, and if I make the life insurance payable to the trust, then I have a single spot where if I need to make any changes in my estate plan in the future, all I know is I have to make changes to the trust. I've organized everything, and then on top of that, on my death, automatically those assets are going to go however I want, however I say in the trust, equal to the kids, let's say, without having to go through probate.
Thank you for your call, Denise. It's a good question. It's a little confusing, but I mean, I think we can all agree we want to avoid probate. I mean, sometimes it's not avoidable, but you don't want a lawyer involved. You don't want the government involved. You don't want the expense, and you don't want the court involved. Anyone who's been involved in a divorce or any litigation knows that it takes a long time. It's expensive. Lawyers are expensive, and things don't always go the way you want them to go. It's not a controllable situation. And even though we all hope that justice gets done, it doesn't always work that way. Dave, just hold on a minute. I want to ask a question about powers of attorney. I don't want to leave this topic without talking about what is a power of attorney, and is it absolutely necessary for somebody to have a power of attorney?
So there's two kinds of power of attorney. One power of attorney is for healthcare decisions, and the other type of power of attorney is for financial decisions. I'd say virtually everyone should have a power of attorney for healthcare. That allows you to name a person to be able to make decisions for you medically that normally only you could make for yourself. So if you're in a coma or if you're just simply, you know, unable to make a decision, the person named as the agent, your daughter, your husband, whoever, can make those decisions. The doctor can share more information with them than they would be able to without that power of attorney. In addition, in the healthcare power of attorney, you can indicate whether you want to forbid an autopsy. You can indicate whether you want to be an organ donor. You can indicate whether you want to be cremated. You can make sure that your agent has access to your medical records even after you've died. So those are the important things about power of attorney for healthcare. Everybody should have one of those just in case. Power of attorney for property is what we call the power of attorney for financial matters. That one is more something that you just need in certain situations, I think, because the idea between the power of attorney for property is that you nominate an agent who can then make financial decisions for you, similar to the power of attorney for healthcare, except for that person, that agent, has a duty then to act in your best interest, called a fiduciary duty, and they can use that power of attorney to access your bank accounts, to make real estate transactions, whatever you specify in the document. The problem is that on the one hand, you want to make it easy enough for the agent to use while not giving too much authority to an agent who might abuse it. And so, I don't know, Karen, if I'm going too long on this.
No, it's okay.
So there, who you name as the agent is a big deal. If you can name your spouse as the agent, then it's easy. Make the power of attorney for property very broad and say that it takes effect as soon as you sign it. That way, if one of you is out of town and the other one needs to sign an account statement, no problem. Now, it gets a little trickier if you've got somebody who's less close. If it's a child and you've got other children, perhaps, you may want to restrict the effective date of the power of attorney until you're incapacitated. You may not want the child to be able to use the power of attorney while you are still able to act for yourself. The problem is, in order for that power of attorney to be used, you'll have to have a doctor make some sort of a determination that you are incapacitated. That can be very difficult. So there's this sort of tension between making the power of attorney easy to use while at the same time making sure it doesn't get used when you don't want it to be used.
And, Christian, would it be fair?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
An instance, you know, perhaps an elderly client that has a child or a nephew or someone close who's been doing their bills. You know, that's a good candidate for a power of attorney for property to make sure that person that's taking care of the bills is there to do that. Someone that doesn't have a lot of accounts or you know, is young, you know, maybe doesn't need a power of attorney for property unless they've got a spouse to nominate.
And so I want to talk a little bit more about selecting a power of attorney, an executor or a trustee in a little bit, because I get a lot of questions from callers who are upset because it seems like a family member who has been a trustee is doing something wrong or wasting money or not giving them a fair read on what's going on. And there's a lot of problems with that. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But I want to get, do we have time, Ben, for a quick question? You know what? Let me just get the question in. Dave in Chicago has been waiting. Hi, Dave. Can you give us a question very quickly?
Well, it's kind of a complex question. I'm going to be taking my former landlord / management company to court to get back my security deposit plus damages back.
Okay.
And
just give me your question as quickly as I can because I've got literally 40 seconds here.
Well, it's going to be online and not in court. So, because of the way things are these days, and I'm worried about not making as good as an impression for my case. I mean, I went to a free legal clinic who advocated on my behalf. They alerted the company twice, got ignored. I went to the alderman who sent them a letter on my behalf.
Okay, Dave, hold on, Dave. I'm going to have to put you on hold. I'm going to say that representing yourself is difficult. Zoom court is fine. It's easy. You'll get on. You'll make your case as quickly as you can, succinctly as you can. Make sure you have the documents that prove your case and do the very best you can to prepare. And that's all you can really do. And it's a very nerve-wracking situation. I'll be taking your calls, 312-981-7200. We'll continue to take your calls on the estate planning issues. This is WGN.